Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you on Friday, February 10th, because, you know, we don't want to do a show when the Super Bowl is about to start on Sunday. So we're getting a jump on it, but you won't hear this until after the Super Bowl. So congrats to the Eagles or the Chiefs. And I've got one guest who has maybe been on more than all the rest, and two new guests, and they are Joe Cornish, Sean O'Connell, and Sam Levine, aka Lil Wolverine. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Let's meet everybody individually in alphabetical order by first name. So that means, first up, writer, director of Attack the Block, The Kid Who Would Be King, and new on Netflix, it's a series, Lockwood & Co., it's Joe Cornish. Hi, Joe.
Hey, woo. Hello, Doug. Good to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for doing it. It's, what do you got, like 10 o'clock on a Friday night where you are?
Yeah, it's 10 p.m. on a Friday night. You've really ruined my Friday night because I couldn't really start watching a movie. I just put my daughter to bed. So I've been watching YouTube videos about the Grammys to fill in the time, which is pretty, pretty, pretty low rent.
Well, you know, the Grammys, they're 4 hours long. So there's plenty of stuff to cover, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, thank you for abandoning your Friday evening. I know when, after you put the child to bed, you probably really go out and rage. So
yes.
Thank you for taking it easy tonight just for us.
It's a pleasure, man. Thank you.
8 episodes of Lockwood & Company are available right now. Season 1, if you will. Do you have a preference as to how people watch it? Do you think they should binge it or savor it like a traditional series?
I think they should binge it and then just watch it again and again and again and again and again. And then they should get into a kind of insane fever and get their neighbors and physically force their neighbors to watch it on their own Netflix accounts. So it counts as an individual view, almost like a virus, and it should sweep through the world, really, in quite an unpleasant, brutal way, everybody just watching it over and over again, because that would be bad for everybody, but really good for me.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're enjoying it, as long as they're having a good time watching it over and over again, which, you know, I think they will. Also joining us today is a man I call Ma'am for no reason, really. It's Sam the Ma'am Levine. Hey, Sam.
Oh, hey, Doug. I think it's because ma'am rhymes with Sam.
Yeah, but that's it. That's where it ends. That's the only point to that. Yeah, right. And, you know, there is a legit reason I call you Little Wolverine, and that's because of your luxurious Hugh Jackman-esque beard.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It's a title I wear proudly, truly.
What's going on, buddy?
You know, everything was going great until last night. My neighbors busted into my home and attacked me and my wife and forced us to watch Lockwood and Company on Netflix.
and didn't enjoy it?
It was great. No, we loved it. I was actually really glad. And I was telling them in the middle, I'm like, you didn't have to bring violence into this. We would have watched this on our own gladly. All you had to do was recommend it. But they were insistent, Doug.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, when Joe sends out his minions, they get to work. Mm-hmm.
Sam, and God bless you for rescuing my joke. For keeping it afloat.
But do you love the show, Sam?
It's really good. Yeah, we're two episodes in and we plan on binging the rest of it this weekend. And it's really, sorry, Joe, it's really good. It's really fun show.
Thank you.
For sure.
Yeah. Sorry to break it to you, Joe.
Oh, no. But
Sam's a fan.
Again.
Yeah, you make something this popular, you might have to make more or other things as well. It really, really becomes a whole thing. And we've got also joining us today, another first timer on the show. It's Sean O'Connell from Cinema Blend. How's it going, Sean?
Good, Doug. First time, long time, all that jazz. A huge fan of the show. And I honestly can't believe that I'm on it. I listen all the time. And so getting to come on and play some games with you guys and talk movies is truly a thrill. So thanks for having me.
For the uninitiated, you're welcome. For the uninitiated, tell everybody what Cinema Blend is.
Sure. We are an entertainment website. We cover movies and television and pop culture in general. I run a lot of their entertainment interview projects. I go into junkets and I cover movie screenings. I've been their managing editor for a couple of years now. And then through them, I also have a podcast because, hey, who doesn't? It's called Real Blend. And we do a weekly podcast. We talk about what's going on in the news, and we like to have directors on a lot. And so recently we've had the likes of Rian Johnson and Guillermo del Toro and Damien Chazelle has been on. And then friend of the show, I'm just going to name drop every, you know, left and right. Tom Hanks is a friend of the show and has come on repeatedly, which is very strange to me. And then after he came on the most recent time, he sent me a typewritten letter to thank us for having him on. And that was surreal. That was very surreal.
Wow.
It was cool.
I mean, you know, do you just have endless questions about war and space?
Yeah, we only talk about Splash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Splash and the Money Pit, which he loved because no one brings those up, so.
You know, it's one of the best moments in cinema when he's stuck in the rug in the roof of Money Pit and he hallucinates and says he thinks he saw some Care Bears.
Care Bears, yeah, exactly.
Let's try. Well, thank you.
Brad. But now.
Do you have your own handle, or are you just on social media through Cinema Blend?
Oh, I am Sean_O'Connell because there is another extremely popular mixed martial artist
right
who also has the name Sean O'Connell, and sometimes I get a ton of responses when he gets into some sort of trouble, and then every once in a while I get into trouble, and then he direct messaged me and he's like, you're right, dude. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, don't worry about it, we'll be okay.
That's
He has very funny weigh-ins, and I hear about them all the time from people.
Hey, I mean, speaking of funny weigh-ins, there's several Wayans brothers who are really funny. So it's time for a portion of the show that I like to call Recommendation Nation, and that's where I ask each of my guests to recommend one movie, but with a twist of my choosing. And since Valentine's Day is fast approaching, next Tuesday, I believe, please, I'd like you each to recommend a rom with or without com. In other words, you know, rom-coms are fun to watch around Valentine's Day, but maybe you'd like to recommend a serious romantic film, maybe one that's not happy or you know, doesn't work out in the end. But whatever you'd like, just recommend one romantic film. Sam, let's start with you.
You know, there's a film that I was thinking about recently, and I guess it kind of maybe qualifies as a rom-com. There's certainly some rom and plenty of com. The Kids Are All Right.
Oh, okay.
With
Annette Bening?
Annette Bening, Mark Ruffalo, Julianne Moore, yeah. That's one I was thinking about recently, and certainly got a lot of fanfare when it came out. And I was happy to say that I hadn't seen it in a few years, and upon rewatching a couple weeks ago, I think it's a really strong film.
Yeah, I remember enjoying it. It's very it's like a two moms situation. Mm-hmm. Is that what's going on there?
Yep, there's the two moms, and they had, you know, kids with the donor, and they didn't really know the donor, and so he sort of comes into their lives and, you know, makes things interesting. If you haven't seen that, I don't want to go away too much.
It's Ruffalo.
It is Ruffalo. Yes, it's the Hulk.
Yeah. I just like to, you know, remind myself of what we're talking about, because I do remember liking it, and you know, not a whole lot beyond that. So it might be worth a rewatch for me. Joe, what do you think? Have you got a romantic film that that's like a fave of yours?
Yeah, I'm going to, I appreciate Sam starting it off, because he's given me some thinking time.
Oh.
And
yeah,
I'm
right?
going to go for a 1979 movie called Rich Kids, directed by Robert Young.
Okay.
Do you guys know Rich Kids? Have you ever seen Rich Kids?
No, I do not know. Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it.
It's set in New York. It's about a 12-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl who's from separate families. Their parents have divorced. And it's a kind of New York junior love story. These two awkward teenagers falling in love, trying to deal with their parents' divorce. It's got John Lithgow playing one of the parents. And it's a really fantastic movie that very few people have heard of, weirdly. And it's just really good. There is a Blu-ray of it around. It came out about 4 or 5 years ago. And it's just one of those great 70s movies that's all shot on location. You know, compared to modern digitally shot movies, it kind of looks like, it just looks beautiful, like those late 70s movies do that are shot on the streets of real cities.
Wow.
It's got two fantastic performances in it. And I highly recommend it to people if they can find a way to see it. The end of my speech.
you know the name of the actress that's the girl?
Trini Alvarado.
Yes. I knew she was in other things, because she's in that movie, Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Stains, I think.
Oh, there we go. Right. That just came out as well on Blu-ray, I think, for the first
time. Yeah, that's an interesting movie. You know, it's what's her name before she found the Tuscan Sun and the
Diane Lane.
Yeah.
And before
she became as well, I think.
Superman's mom. Yeah. That's a good one. What about you, Sean? What do you think for a romantic movie for people to check out?
So I want to give a little bit of love to some guy who doesn't get it that often, and that's Adam Sandler, who will dabble in romantic comedies every once in a while, especially early on in his career. And I think The Wedding Singer doesn't get enough love. He is very, very funny in it. He has tremendous chemistry with Drew Barrymore. It's a great balance of, because, I mean, Sandler's not a leading man for romantic movies, you would think, normally. And when you drop him into the middle of the 80s genre, he has a lot of fun with, you know, updating the music from that and the fashion and all the stuff that sort of weighs into that. But again, it's just his relationship with Drew Barrymore is really fantastic and carries it through, which is a perfect 95 minutes. Like, it's exactly how long it needs to be. And if you can get to the end of a movie and Billy Idol can help you get the girl on a plane, that's a win in my book. So, you know, Sandler goes on to make a couple others that are forgettable, you know, Click and things like that. But I think if you go all the way back to The Wedding Singer, it was a great bridge between his Billy Madison Waterboy days and him becoming the king of Netflix, which he is now.
Yeah, really, I think it was third after Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. I think it really set him up as, first of all, being able to play a character whose name isn't in the title, but also, I mean, he's still in the title, but not his name, not his character name. And then, but yeah, it really bridged, like, it was the first step to, like, he could make movies that aren't silly completely. I mean, obviously, Wedding Singer has its silly moments, but yeah, it was, and Drew Barrymore really fought to make her role in that not just the girl, and like they brought in people to write specifically for her character and make it more even and not just you know, a lot of his movies the girl just tends to be like almost like James Bond movies or something where they're somewhat disposable.
Yeah.
But that's a great choice. These are all love that these are three.
He threw Steve Buscemi work on a regular basis too.
Oh no, no, that's Steve Buscemi doing Sandler a favor.
Yeah, yeah, he was throwing a favor at Sandler because.
Okay,
like,
semantics. I understand.
Yeah,
but it was fun to see Buscemi in like a Coen Brothers film, and then see him in the new Sandler movie wearing goofy eyeballs or something like that.
Yeah. It's a tradition of some pretty amazing actors who, you know, work with the Coen Brothers and all sorts of people. You know, your Turturros, your Pacinos, like people love to be silly in a Sandler movie, who are very, very serious actors normally. You know, because even in his comedic roles, Buscemi's in, you know, pretty dramatic situations. Like Reservoir Dogs and Con Air, like there's some shit going on while he's being weird and funny. But in Sandler movies, he really just came in to be like, you know, weird homeless guy or whatever, you know, whatever he was doing.
Well, and the Pacino,
so many of them. Like that'd be a fun game, the cameos.
The Pacino Dunkin' Donuts scene, I think, has to be one of his greatest scenes ever.
When you say he,
Pacino's?
Pacino's, of course. It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk. Yeah. Dunkachino.
The Dunkachino,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, those are great, great recommendations, fellas. And thanks for that. And we will, you know, well, I'll hear from the listeners if anybody is checking any of this stuff out. And let's take a break, and we'll be back with some games after this.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
We are back with some games after that. You ready to play, fellas?
Sure.
Yes,
sir. All set.
Nervous. Okay. Yeah, well, maybe you should be, because this is really dumb. This game is called 80 for Brady Bunch. I'll say a fact, fun, or otherwise, and then your job is to tell me if it applies to the new motion picture 80 for Brady, or the Brady Bunch movie from back in whenever the hell that came out, or both. That's right. There's a chance that these two movies have something in common besides the name Brady. I'll start with Joe. I'll give you the fact. You tell me which one is, it's Brady, 80 for Brady, Brady Bunch, or both. And if you miss, then Sam gets a chance at it with just the two options. And if Sam misses, then Sean basically gets a gimme point. And whenever somebody gets one right, the next person goes first on the next one. No pressure. Obviously, guessing is one way to succeed, because actually knowing these things, I'd be surprised if any of you do. Has anybody seen 80 for Brady?
No, didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, I'm so excited about seeing it. I've tried to imagine it in incredible detail. So I feel
you
like
you still
I've
won't get it right. No matter how hard you imagine it, you still won't get it right.
I don't know, because the version I've imagined is like 18 hours long. That's how long I want it to be.
Yeah, they keep it a tight buck 45, I think. Maybe a little under two.
My version is very adult as well.
Yeah, this one's not adult enough, in my opinion, because the Jane Fonda character really wants to go wild, and they mostly just they treat her like she's slutty, but she's not that slutty. Joe, you're up first.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Has an actor in it who has appeared on the series Seinfeld? Do you think that's 80 for Brady, the Brady Bunch movie, or both?
Man, that's very broad. I mean, pretty much every actor has appeared on Seinfeld, haven't they?
There's been a lot of short roles and recurring roles on Seinfeld
It's a very long-running show.
Yeah,
I mean,
10 years.
So I'm saying, but you're saying it's this person has only appeared in one of those movies, not both.
There's an actor who has appeared in Seinfeld. Are they also in 80 for Brady, Brady Bunch movie, or both?
I'm going 80 for Brady because I think they've appeared in 80 for Brady because Brady, because they'd be old. Seinfeld is old. And
right.
80 for Brady is about old people. So I think it's that's my answer.
Oh, that's an interesting theory. But that's 80 for Brady is not the answer I'm looking for. Sam?
My instinct is to say both.
Are you going to go with your instinct?
I guess so. Yeah, I'll go both.
You'll listen to your instinct? Because it's correct.
Hey.
Hang on, isn't that what I said?
I thought you said 80 for Brady.
Yeah,
but before that I said, well...
final answers. Oh,
that's a clever way to do it. Say all the answers. By the time you're done talking, you've got it all covered.
I'm just trying to confuse you.
Yeah, it's easy to do. But yeah, it's both because two different actors that have been on Seinfeld show up, you know, one in Brady and one in Brady Bunch, and they are Renee Santoni, who plays Poppy Seinfeld, who was in the Brady Bunch movie, and Patton Oswalt, who played a video store clerk dealing with George Costanza on a Seinfeld, is in 80 for Brady.
Wow.
Yeah. Very exciting start to this weird game. Sean?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
You get to go first on this next one. 80 for Brady, Brady Bunch, or both, has a character in it named Brisket.
I am going to go 80 for Brady.
You're saying 80 for Brady.
Final answer.
A character named Brisket.
Yes, sir.
What made you arrive at that answer?
I'm assuming that there is some type of a tailgate scene where hijinks ensue.
Oh, okay.
And you would have somebody from New England in a Brady jersey who's making some type of smoked meat.
All right.
And they ring a couple of jokes out of that, of course. Now, I just don't see, because you already have Sam the Butcher, so I don't see them also going with Brisket for the Brady Bunch movie. That seems like overkill. So I'm just going to stick with 80 for Brady.
Yeah, you really
confidence.
Really thought this through. I don't know if any of that really applies to why a character's named Brisket, but it is, in fact, a character in 80 for Brady.
Hell yes.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Nice job.
And that character is played by Patton Oswalt.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Okay.
Okay, Joe, here's your chance to get on the board. Sam has a point. Sean has a point.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
You can do it. You can do it. Mm-hmm. Also, none of this matters. RuPaul, the great RuPaul Charles that we know from RuPaul's Drag Race, is in 80 for Brady, Brady Bunch movie, or both?
Well, I know that I know RuPaul appears in the Brady Bunch movie. Weirdly, I started out on a TV show in the UK called The Adam and Joe Show. It's kind of like a homemade TV show. We started on British TV in 1996, and our show was produced by Fenton Bailey and Randy Barbato, who managed RuPaul all the way back from the early 90s. So I was very familiar with Ru's stuff since way before Drag Race, since the beginning of her career. So I know she's in the Brady Bunch movie. Is she an 80 for Brady? Probably. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Does she still, maybe she's above that kind of cheap cameo these days. So I'm just going to say only the Brady Bunch movie.
That was so fun listening to you work all that out, because you arrived at the correct answer. RuPaul is not in 80 for Brady. So yeah, congratulations. You're on the board.
Yeah, they couldn't afford Ru.
Not yeah, Ru's so busy with Drag Race and the spinoffs and now hosting Lingo. It's crazy. All right, Sam.
Yeah.
This next one starts with you.
Okay.
And here it is.
All right.
Directed by a woman.
Ooh.
80 for Brady, Brady Bunch movie, or both?
Well, I know that Betty Thomas directed the Brady Bunch movie. That film came out in 95, so I saw it in theaters twice. I was the perfect age for that sort of nonsense. And I don't recall if 80 for Brady is directed by a woman. But, oh, I'm really fighting with my instincts because I want to say yes, but... I will say only the Brady Bunch movie is directed by a woman.
You're going solely Brady Bunch, directed by a woman.
Yeah.
A woman, you say, is named Betty Thomas.
Yeah.
You said that?
I did say that.
Because that would be true. And 80 for Brady was directed by Kyle Marvin, who is a man.
All right.
I never really did the research on that. I just looked at a picture of him and saw his name. So I'm going with Kyle Marvin as a man. I don't know his exact pronouns, but so Sam, you did it. Brady Bunch movie was the one directed by a woman, and who of course went on to direct lots of stuff, including Howard Stern's movie.
Yeah.
And,
That was one of the first things I ever auditioned for, by the way. Our first features I ever auditioned for was Howard Stern's Private Parts.
Oh, which part were you auditioning for?
the private part? The like 12-year-old Howard or whatever it was, the one who plays with puppets and then does the dirty puppet show.
Why wouldn't you get that?
I don't know, Doug, but I got the chance to ask Betty Thomas that a couple years ago.
Oh, what'd she say?
She was like, well, if I'd have known what you're going to do later in your career, I would have hired you. And I was like, well, that seems like a very convenient answer, Betty.
Yeah, this sounds very, like a very confrontational situation you had with Betty.
It was, it came to blows, Doug.
I don't think I've ever had the chance to say to a director of a movie, why didn't you cast me?
Right. Well, I didn't ask her, why didn't you cast me? I told her it was one of the first features I ever auditioned for. And she said, oh, why didn't I hire you? And I said, I wonder that every day, Betty.
Yeah, that sounds more like how it would go down.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Sam. You won that first game, but as you know,
Doesn't
mean much at all. It just means you're forced to go first in the
last
game.
It may work against me. I don't know.
It could very much work against you. That's the fun of the arbitrary nature of these things. And before we wrap this one up, though, just because I looked it up and it's funny to me. Sean, I'll give you first crack at this one. It's not worth any points or anything, but the parents movie guide on the internet movie database, IMDb, it lists, it has different categories. And for the film sex and nudity, it's listed as mild. Is that 80 for Brady, the Brady Bunch movie, or both?
Because I want it to be true, I'm going to say both.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's both.
Yes. Thank God. I want no more details. I just wanted both to be true.
Yeah, they're both mild, but it's funny. That the one for 80 for Brady goes on to say, they talk about sex a lot, but it's always very, it's always discreet or something like that. Okay. I'm like, yeah, I guess strap-on jokes are kind of discreet.
just have so long as the kids can get into the movie.
Sam, I didn't just see the film. I saw the film's premiere at the Palm Springs Film Festival. And those four ladies, just to get to watch a movie they're in, mm-hmm. you know, watch it in the same theater while they watch it and then watch them talk about it afterwards. I mean, Sally Field, Rita Moreno, Lily Tomlin, and Jane Fonda, that's like a Mount Rushmore for me of actresses I liked my whole life. Mm-hmm. So it was very exciting and fun because also they've got their relationship to each other. Jane and Lily are obviously really good friends, but also just they all just really are great at like being sweet to each other and sniping at each other. And especially Sally Field came out of nowhere with how funny she was during the Q&A. Yeah. So that's why I got that movie on the brain. Plus it is, you know, it is Super Bowl weekend and I find nothing more hilarious than the 1 year that Tom Brady doesn't make it to the Super Bowl. And this whole movie about going to Super Bowl. And then he retired like 2 seconds before this movie got released. And it's funny, but I guess it's based on some real old ladies that really did go to see him play, and he's in it, Tom Brady, a little bit, and he's not bad, you know, his acting's fine. I mean, he's yeah. playing himself, but he seemed like a sincere and nice guy, at least when he's talking to the great Lily Tomlin.
He's also in one of the Ted movies, I think.
Oh, really? That Tom makes
Brady.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got a real Boston connection there, I think. Congrats, Sam. You won that game, but like you said, and no. Right. Doesn't mean anything.
No.
And we're going to play our final big game
oh boy.
After these messages. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, we're back. And Sam Levine gets to go first in a game I call Whose Tagline Is It Anyway?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is a tough game normally, but it may be extra tough today because here's how it works, Sean and Joe. I'll say a tagline from a motion picture, you know, one of the advertising lines used in the trailers or the posters or whatever. IMDb usually lists a few. And this could be from any movie in any time of the history of cinema. Well, no silent movies. Maybe The Artist, but other than that, no silent movies. So it is tough. But just take a guess is what I say. Some people get really caught up in trying to, you know, really think about it. And sometimes just the wildest guess turns out to be correct.
I think like I said,
Sam's going to be first. And then we'll switch the order around. So then we'll go Sam, then Joe, then Sean. Each of you will get a crack at it. And if you know, somebody gets it right, the next person will go first on the next one. And Sam,
yep.
Here we go. Oh, and important to mention, Sam knows this already. A theme will emerge that also may make it even harder you know, once you figure out the theme, but we'll see.
Why would that make it harder, not easier?
Because sometimes when it's like, you know, very specific, you know, things you have to think of, like when the parameters shrink, it just, then if you can't think of anything, okay, you're really, really screwed. But you'll see as we go, starting with Sam. See a female colossus, her mountainous torso, skyscraper limbs, giant desires, exclamation point. That's the tagline.
See a female colossus.
See a female colossus. Her mountainous torso, skyscraper limbs, giant desires. A lot of taglines play more like a poem or something.
Yeah. The only thing that I can possibly think of is Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
That's the only thing you think could.
A giant colossus.
What sex was the colossus in the movie Colossus? It was probably a boy colossus, right?
I don't think I saw that one.
With Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis?
No, I missed that one.
It's good. That is correct, Sam.
Oh my God! Okay, I thought for sure it couldn't be that, because that was the first thing I thought of when you said a mountainous torso. Is that what you said?
Yeah, her mountainous torso. Who doesn't want to see a mountainous torso? It's the original Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, the movie from way back when, and then has been remade since as a TV movie starring Daryl Hannah. But you got it, Sam. Cool. Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. That was a tough one. Good job.
Thank you. I had no second guess. I didn't know what to make of it.
Let's go to Joe for this next one. And Joe, I'm going to give you two taglines from this movie because I don't think one on its own is going to do it.
Okay.
But also two together, I don't know how much help they're going to be. First tagline, the first one is ARG! A-A-A-R-G-H! Exclamation point.
Arrgh. I know how to spell ARG.
You do?
Yeah.
I was worried that just saying it, ARG, like you might think I'm trying to be a pirate, but I don't think it's a pirate thing. And then the other one is, you've never seen a film like it.
I mean, that is very oblique. Yeah. I have to say, when you said arg, and then paused, and then we had a brief conversation, I thought that was the beginning of the first tagline. I didn't know that was just the first tagline, like a guttural
That's
noise.
The whole thing, just arg. And they put that somewhere to promote this movie.
And you've never seen a film like it? That could be all films claim that you've never seen another film like it, right?
I'm going to give you the third tagline that they listed, because it's crazy, because that one is good. Nothing you've ever seen.
I mean, no one film is exactly the same as even Gus Van Sant's remake of Psycho isn't exactly the same as Psycho.
Right.
So that is a tagline you could put on pretty much anything. So listen, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go for just a process of random deduction. So is it a pirate movie? Arg. And what sort of a movie would someone say? Arg. A pirate movie. What is a pirate movie where you've never seen a film like it? I don't know, like Yellowbeard. I'd go for Yellowbeard, which was that weird Eric Idle kind of comedy about pirates. I know I'm wrong. I can sense it in the air that I'm wrong, but I think this is a very noble stab in the dark. And also I think it is a much, 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 much harder one than Sam's that I had immediately. And I think this is really unfair. And I think it's because I'm British. And I think this show is very xenophobic. And should be
cancelled. Edgar Wright has that same complaint every time he's on.
Yeah. Well, he said to me, do you want me to come on with you? And I said, come on, sure, come on with me. And then he said, Actually, no, I won't, because I don't want to overshadow you. To which I said, well, look, I'm 6'3". So that's going to be very difficult unless the lights are positioned very low behind you.
Anyway, yeah, and it's Friday night, so Edgar's got to go enjoy a night out in Soho.
Would Edgar get this? I don't think Edgar will listen to this. Edgar, let's leave a pause here for Edgar to have a guess. There's the Edgar pause. And let's see where that now, because he can play it like vicariously.
Send us your guess, Edgar, and we'll see if you got it.
It could be a caveman movie. That could be like a caveman grunt. It could be like that Ringo Starr caveman movie. Or something like that.
Yeah, that was just called Caveman.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
So there you go, two guesses. I'm hedging my bets.
Oh, I see. We got a double guess. Well, unfortunately, they're both wrong. Yeah. But I appreciate the effort. Sean, does this make any of this make any sense to you?
This one's actually really easy. It is.
What?
It's Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. because by the time they got to the fifth one, they had just given up. So they put ARG on the poster. And then in an effort to convince you that you hadn't seen the other ones, they told you that you haven't seen anything like this film before.
Right. This one takes it somewhere different. Like this time, boy, you're going to be surprised.
Strap in.
Yeah. I really thought you knew the answer the way you came in so confident. It really sounded like a real Sam Levine move, but unfortunately, that's not the right answer.
Damn it.
Sam?
So I have a guess. I'm quite sure it's wrong, but I'm going to try anyway. And it's a very long title, and I'm probably going to say it wrong, but if I'm even close, you know, utch me along. I'll see if I can get it right. I think it's called the Pirates.
Mixed up,
it's like the Pirates Who Can't Do Anything, a VeggieTales movie, I think.
Oh, wow.
Oh. I don't remember
it could be a SpongeBob movie.
Yeah. It sounds like pirate movie.
Got hooked on pirate movie tomorrow. I have a feeling we're all off. I have a feeling it's going to be something.
Yeah, the pirate thing is a bit misleading.
Right.
It's the way you said it, Doug.
Right.
You said it like a pirate. Well, can you say it again in the way that it should be said that suits the film, please?
Okay. All right. Arg!
That's completely different.
Yeah, that doesn't sound anything like a pirate.
That's very
all right. Let's go from the beginning. Joe, you're up first. Arg!
Well, this now feels like some kind of gladiator movie or a Roman movie where somebody's just been impaled on a spear. So I think it's the tagline for the forthcoming Gladiator sequel.
Oh, okay.
By Ridley Scott. That's just started shooting.
That's wrong as well.
How do you know it's wrong? How do you know it's wrong? It hasn't been released yet.
Point. It's wrong in terms of what I've written down.
Well, I still think I should get a point.
I've got a hard answer here, and it's hard to come up with, obviously. But, Sean, any more guesses?
Vertigo?
No. no, Sam?
Misery.
Are you describing your current state?
Yes. Both. It is both my current state and my guess.
Yeah, because that's a good guess. Like that's what he says when she hobbles him.
When she hobbles him, arg!
Yeah, he's like, arg!
Right, and
I'll never write again.
Yeah.
Like, why did she? Yeah, she should have also smashed his writing hand. But anyway, the film, the reason that someone would say arg and why you've never seen anything like it is because people are generally not used to being attacked by tomatoes. It's called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
All right. Okay.
But is that the tagline, or just like a speech bubble coming out of someone's mouth?
It's listed as a tagline under the tagline listings on IMDb, but you never know what kind of nonsense they get this stuff from. But that means we're back to Joe gets to go first again.
Oh, no.
For this next one goes a little something like this. Yikes! Oh, hang on, there's more.
Oh, boy.
This one does keep going. Yikes! They've landed. They've landed! Exclamation point. What do you think that is, Joe?
Well, it's not Mars Attacks, is it? Yikes, they've landed. I mean, it's some dumb alien. In it. Could it be Attack the Block, my film? Could it be... God, I don't know. Yikes, they've landed. Yikes.
Do you know what the tagline is for Attack the Block?
Yeah, it's Inner City versus Outer Space, which I thought of myself.
Yeah, that's good. A good one. Wow. That's a rare good one.
Better than Yikes, they've landed.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Certainly better than you've never seen a film like it. You've really scraped the bottom of the tag barrel for these
Joe,
ones.
You have the sequel coming up. You could still use Yikes, they've landed.
We'll never have Yikes, they've landed again. Ah! You've seen a film similar to it. That's what it would be. I've no idea. Yikes, they've landed. Like, come on. So something freaky from space. Oh, God. I'm just going to have to say Mars Attacks. It's the Japanese tagline for the Japanese release of Mars Attacks, just to get out of this hellish loop.
You just got to say something. And the thing you said is the correct answer. It is Mars Attacks.
Oh, get out of here.
I got to stay because we have a show to do. But yes. It is
That's
Mars
amazing.
Attacks.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Yikes, they've landed. And then the other one was even more specific about how, you know, they're here and they're going to take the country or something like that, or take over. But yikes, they've landed. That's real.
What is the noise the aliens make? What is the noise the aliens make? Well, I'm going to have my own competition between you guys who can do the best version of the noise. And Sean is starting. Sean? Nah, that sounds like a goose. Sam? That's better than Sean's. Doug? Sam gets it.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sam nailed it.
Oh, man. If only you were Betty Thomas. This could have led somewhere for me.
Yeah. It's you know, they make that noise in it. I don't think it really caught on in pop culture. You don't hear people going around doing that noise very much.
I just heard three people going around doing that noise.
Weirdly, Tom Brady makes that noise.
We're getting it started. Okay, so Sean, you're up first on this next one. You got to get this one to stay competitive with these fellas.
I'm ready.
So far, we've got Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, Attack of Killer Tomatoes, and Mars Attacks. What do you think the tagline, what movie is this tagline for, Sean? For a New York cop and his witness, the distance between life and death just got very short.
Oh, that's 16 Blocks.
That is correct.
Yes.
Wow.
16 Blocks is the answer.
That is very strange because I'm currently writing a book about Bruce Willis and I just did 16 Blocks as a chapter. I just finished that chapter.
Yeah, I see. That's where the timing comes in.
Wow.
Because, you know, Joe saw Mars Attacks 20 years ago and was just thinking of it today.
But then if the theme is attack movies with the word attack in the title, how does 16?
Well, David Morse attacks Bruce Willis.
Hang on. Joe, if you haven't figured out, 16 Blocks attack
the blocks. Of course,
what he's working off of
this. This show seems dumb on the surface, but underneath the level of sophistication. That's why I love it. That's what keeps me coming back.
Yeah. Well, this next movie could have attack in it, could have block in it, could have the in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe is up first.
I'm sorry. Oh, I believe I'm up first.
You're correct. Sam is up first.
Thank you.
You never give any other player a break. The Sam Levine story.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, Sam, you ready?
Yes.
Parents can be such ...
Oh, that's blockers.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good call.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember that tagline very well. Because they wanted to call the movie Cock Blockers, but the studio would not let them.
Yeah, and I think there was even talk of C blockers, but then that just sounds like you're, you know, taking something to lower your vitamin C intake.
Right.
or something like that. Sam, congratulations. I don't know how you did it, but you always do. You are our winner today.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations, Sam.
You did
it. Thank you so much.
You did it.
What does Sam win?
He wins the opportunity that, you know, this might not even be something everybody wants to win, but he can come back as soon as like the very next episode to you know, defend his title.
Yeah.
Wow. So especially anybody that's got something they're really trying to promote, or Sam, who's just, you know, a lifelong trivia hound. It's fun to be able to come back. If you had to guess, Sam, how often do you think you've been on the show? How many times? Is it even possible to guess a number?
I would say at this point, it's got to be over 50.
Got to be, right?
Yeah, it feels like it. It's been going on with you and me now since, I think, the end of 2006?
Yeah, like
maybe beginning of 2007.
Yeah.
Sam, absolutely. If you're trapped and need help, just make some kind of a sign.
Yeah, we just put him in a room during the pandemic and don't let him out. And it's working out great. The tiebreaker that I had set up just in case a tie would occur is there's a film that has the tagline, "The clones are coming."
Ooh. Oh, is it Attack of the Clones?
Yes.
Yes.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yep. But this is another tagline.
What was that? Is that the correct answer?
Yeah, that's it.
That's a terrible tagline.
So lazy.
Isn't it?
It's if
the tagline to Star Wars was the wars are starting in the stars. Like, you can't use a word from the title in the tagline, can you?
I mean,
I think people do, but it's silly because it's so much more fun.
Like Jaws, watch out for its jaws.
Yeah.
Would not be good.
The tagline for that movie really should be "Send in the clones."
Yes.
Good point. Yeah. That's a great point.
Right.
They blew it.
No, they didn't get anything right. Because here's the other tagline that I wrote down from that movie that I guess I get it, but it's just weird. "A Jedi shall not know anger, nor hatred, nor love." Yeah, no. I want to see that.
That's not fried green tomatoes?
The last bit of that could be nor precisely what set he is standing on.
Yeah.
Because of the green screen.
Yeah. This, a Jedi,
nor who he is acting with.
A ping pong ball and pretend it's a monster.
Nor who he is acting, nor which character he is acting opposite.
Or she. Could be anybody, but it's Sam Levine has not been in a Star Wars film.
Nope.
Yet.
Yet. There it is.
You'd never know, but congratulations on your win today, Sam. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I do. Look, guys, Valentine's Day is just a couple days away.
Oh, here we go.
And you forgot to get the person you love something. I am on Cameo. I'm very reasonably priced, and I can tell them how much you love them. Or anything else you want me to say. Really, I'm not that picky. So come find me on Cameo.
No one's ever requested you say something that you went, no, I'm not going to say that.
One time.
Yeah, because sometimes they try to get you to do ads, or they try to get you to say something political or something that you don't necessarily agree with.
That is correct. It was a political thing, and I was not going to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can say it here if you want.
Nah, I'm all right.
Well, thank you, Sam Levine. Get those cameos from Sam, from Samio. That's your change name to Samio.
I really should change my name. That's Samio, a great call, Samio. Doug.
Yeah. And do it for Valentine's or for any occasion. I announced that I'm doing Valentine's cameos, and I just keep getting ones for it's reminding people that a friend of theirs has a birthday coming up. So they're just getting birthday ones instead of Valentine's. And I'm fine with that. Joe Cornish, Lockwood and Company, is on the Netflix. Do you know what the tagline is for that, for the show?
Yeah, hunt or be haunted.
Ooh.
Oh,
which is pretty good because there's only one letter difference between hunt and haunt.
You sure it's not lock up the company?
Lock up your woods. No, I'm sure it's not that.
Okay, just checking.
Or it could be hunt and be haunted.
Yes.
Or haunt and be hunted. Yeah.
Haunt and Be Haunted. I like Maybe it. That's for the second season.
Ooh.
If we get one.
So that's where you're at right now, is just waiting for these awesome numbers to come in, because everybody seems to be loving it, and then you'll get a second season.
No, the numbers are very good. We're number one. We were certainly number one in the world last week.
Yeah.
But I think probably the moment those words left my mouth, we plummeted to number 68. That's what usually happens when you say stuff like that out loud.
The algorithm killed you.
They put a lot of stuff on there, but I just was flipping around Netflix today and saw that, you know, here in the US, it's in the top 10. So still doing great. And we'll, you know, encourage everybody to check it out.
Please
binge the whole thing, so it gets all those 8 credits for you having watched it, and watch again at your leisure. Sean O'Connell,
yes, sir.
What would you like to plug?
I have a book. I have a book that came out just recently, and it's
the
about...
one about Bruce Willis. That was fast.
It's on shelves now. It's about Spider-Man. It's about Spider-Man's film history, and it goes all the way back to the Nicholas Hammond television show. And several projects in the 70s and 80s that tried to get off the ground with Stan Lee backing them. And then it goes through the Tobey Maguire years, the Andrew Garfield years, and then all the way through Tom Holland. He's my all-time favorite character and hero, and I love those movies more than anything. And so the book is called With Great Power, and it has a ton of cool exclusive interviews from people who were involved in those films over the years. And I was putting it together as No Way Home was coming out, and so I got to sort of see that whole journey come to a close, and all three of those guys joining together on screen was kind of the culmination of the book that I was trying to tell, of why this character is so important and how come we all come out to the theaters to see versions of that character on the big screen. So that all worked out pretty well. So again, it's called With Great Power, and it's all about Spider-Man in the movies.
That's just like right up there with like the movie Fever Pitch. While they were making it, the Cubs went on to actually, you know, or was it the other team? But anyway,
the Red Sox,
they went on to win that year in a massive upset.
Very similar. Yes.
But Sam knows more about that because he's a Cubbies fan.
I am. This was the 2004 Red Sox.
It effectively killed Jimmy Fallon's
White Sox, actor. Red Sox. I can't keep track.
It's okay.
It did?
I mean, I think so.
I think he's busy with
Taxi.
The Taxi. But yeah,
Taxi killed his film career. Yeah,
probably. The 1-2 punch.
Yeah. That was a movie. Also... Taxi, a movie nobody hailed.
I really I want to say thank you to Joe Cornish.
That's a Gene Shalit joke.
Taxi is a movie no one would hate. What's that, Sean?
I just want to say thanks to Joe Cornish. He doesn't remember this, but when Joe did The Kid Who Would Be King, they let the journalists bring their kids to New York City to interview the talent. And my young son got to interview Patrick Stewart, and it's something he remembers fondly. They did a whole training session with the kids so that they could learn how to do sword fighting and work with their shields. And it was a great, great press event. And he loves that movie too. So I didn't think I'd ever be on a show with you.
Hey, so. that's so great. Please say hi to your son for me. That was was that really snowy weekend in New York? It was like a big ice storm weekend.
Bitter cold. And they had us in that, that old public school.
Wow. That's great.
Really fun movie that more people need to see.
Thank you.
Yeah, after you binge Lockwood & Co., then go ahead and check out
The Kid Who Would Be King, Attack the Block, 6 hours, 7, 8, 9. 9.5 hours, you can view my entire oeuvre. Yeah, actually, there's a lot of dumb TV before that. But
you can get slapped across the face if you ask somebody to look at your oeuvre. But thank you to all three of you for being here. This was terrific. I would like to plug that Doug Loves Movies is back at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles on Sunday, March 5th. And one more time, thank you, Sam Levine, Joe Cornish, and Sean O'Connell. This has been terrific. And as always, this is Lieutenant Harold Woodruff.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie.
eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.